the Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along. My name's Lee Phelps. This is the Specials Podcast from William Hill. If you've never listened before, we basically talk about The X Factor and Strictly Come Dancing betting week in, week out, plus anything else that comes along. I'm a celebrity, Eurovision, maybe the Sports Personality of the Year, and so on and so forth. The men who do the chatting are Reality Rob Dixon, trader at William Hill, and pro punter, and Strictly fanatic, I think we'll call you, Andy. Andy Holding. Welcome, guys. You all right?
Good afternoon.
Hi, guys.
That was quite a professional introduction,
what?
I thought, for the Specials Podcast.
Why have we waited 4 years before we've had a professional introduction?
I don't know, really. It just felt that way today. I've got like a smarter shirt on, so I thought it just felt right to do it that way. But we'll revert to normal. Let's start with Strictly Come Dancing, shall we? The outright betting available, and Rob's been busy as well, pricing up all manner of other markets. Jay McGuinness, odds on 5-6 to win Strictly Come Dancing 2015. Peter Andre is now 5-1. Helen George, 8-1. Katie Derham, 9s. Kelly Bright 10s, Anita Rani 12, so is Georgia May Foote, and then the other five or four even are 100-1. All the others are just drifting bigger and bigger, Andy, and Jay's rock solid.
Yeah, for those of us who have backed him at relatively fancy prices, despite one blip, of course, several weeks ago, everything's looking pretty rosy with Jay. He's back to his solid best. I thought he was under mark last week, even though we managed to nail or jointly nail Kelly as the top scorer. I felt it was very much Jay's was the one that was undermarked of the ones of the top of the leaderboard. I thought 33 was a bit of a travesty, to be fair. I think if he would have danced last, I think he would have got it. I think there was definitely a couple of points added on for Kelly's jive, which was a very good jive, don't get me wrong, but for me there was no way as good as Jay's Paso. And he's just looking so solid. He's massively popular, isn't he, on the social media sites, the forums you read. I mean, every single week I've gone to the same forums and the same polls, and he gets over 50% of the votes as the
best
dancer and the most likeable. He got 55% the week before, even though he was tragic, and he got 55.8% this week. The nearest is Anita, 8.77. There's a massive jump to the next best.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, Andy, about you, we talk about YouTube views a lot on this podcast, and rightly so. But the thing that you have to remember is that although, you know, last week's dance didn't get anywhere near the amazing dance he did to the old Pulp Fiction, the infamous jive. Now that's going to have a million views before long. And you know, if someone doesn't, not everyone watches Strictly like we watch Strictly. Someone might just dip in and out, and they might just see a YouTube clip of that, and that's what they remember. It doesn't matter what the week in, week out dances are. As Rob says, he's got that up his sleeve for the final when he needs it. I mean, I think he got, you know, 60,000 views last week, which is still miles more than everyone else, because people are watching the big dance that he did. 700,000 people have looked at that, and then the next one on the list is his next dance and his next dance. So people will become more familiar with him, full stop, won't they?
Well, he's just got that prime piece of star quality and commodity that every single winner of any real reality show has had, and that's likability. You can't bottle it, you can't buy it. If the public like you, they get behind you, if you're connecting with the audience somewhere along the line, whether it be you dancing or whether they're just, you know, they like to see you week in, week out, there's something about their personality that the viewers like, and Jay seems to have it in abundance. I think he's got that great split in his personality, where he's liked by the grannies, he's liked by the kids, boys and girls both like him as well. He's inoffensive, he comes across as being self-deprecating, he doesn't really know how good he is, and I think all those ingredients, plus the fact he's a brilliant dancer. I mean, you've got to be able to dance as well. I mean, you can't get through alone on personality, but I think he's just got everything, and that's why he's odds on, and I think he'll continue to be odds on throughout the remainder of the series.
Oh, Rob, at the other end of the table, the worst dancers, the sub-25s is probably the ones that we need to look at, were Ainsley and Natalie, who ended up going, Katie and Anton, with 21 as well. Carol and Pasha also with 21, and Jeremy and Karen, bottom of the pile, 18. Jamelia found herself in the bottom two again, despite getting 26, which, you know, that was the fifth best, if you like, score of those lot. You know, it's funny that she ends up back in there. Can't be much love for Jamila. The other interesting thing is that they're both those competitors came kind of in the middle of the show. They weren't right near the bottom. I think Ainsley and Natalie danced sixth, and Jamila and Tristan danced seventh of 12, didn't they? So it was not like they were early on in the show. Not a lot of love for Jamila, is there?
Yeah, we're still getting to the bit where there's quite a lot to go through. It's still a two-hour show, so dances can sort of get forgotten. It'd be interesting this week with the crossover between X Factor and Strictly, albeit the fact that it's only a 15-minute show, so you're probably just missing the sort of last dance of the night.
I don't think anyone's missing the end of Strictly, are they?
No.
Let's be
I mean,
fair.
You can
tune into X Factor after 15 minutes and still not miss anything.
No, that's true. But it'd be interesting to know the crossover. It'd be interesting to know if this trend, which seems to have been now for 3 weeks, of the highest scorer going on last, sort of carries on as well. I mean, when we talk about X Factor, we mention the sort of running order on that as well, but obviously if you go first in that, you're in danger. But I can never sort of work Jamila out. Every week I think she's in danger, and then she gets safe, and then I suppose it is the sort of double bounce, and based on the fact that she was bottom two last week makes me think that she's probably safe again this week. But I mean, there's not really too much. The problem that the ones at the bottom have got is that Jeremy and Carol are still smashing the public vote, which is putting others now in danger. So obviously Ainsley goes last week. We'll talk about the eviction in a minute, but obviously Kirsty, despite getting 29 last week, which was by far her best dance of the series, she's still sort of favourite to go after getting 29. 26 didn't get you out of the bottom two last week. So I can see, while one of the regulars might be down in the bottom two again, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a shock this week, and maybe one of the fancied runners get dragged into this bottom two.
Let's have a look at the market then for the elimination, the fifth elimination already. Kirsty Gallagher is 15-8, Jamila 9-4, Carol Kirkwood 5-2, Jeremy Vine 6-1, Anita Rani 33s, Georgia May Foot 33s, Katie Derham is 50, so is Kelly Bright, 66 is Helen George, and 100-1 for Jay and Peter. Even if they get dragged into the bottom two, Andy, they're not going to go against any of the a bigger act. They're not going to go against any of this dross that we're seeing. It's fun, but it's still dross. I mean, has Kirsty got the biggest issue this week? She's got the Charleston, hasn't she, Kirsty, with Brendan? As Rob said, she did do pretty well last week. She hasn't got the consistency, though, so you could argue because she did well last week, she's due a stinker.
I think she probably is, yeah. I mean, she did it with V&A's Waltz last week, which is very proficient.
As you said.
And you couldn't fault it, could you? It was her best dance. And yet, still, she's very unpopular in the nicest sense. I mean, she's a lovely, lovely lady, and she comes across well. But she's just not up against the bigger guns, the ones who've got better personalities and are connecting better with the audience. She's only got 1.23% likability, if you like, on the voting polls that I see. And miserly 1,700 on the YouTube playbacks as well. So even though it was her best dance, not that many wanted to tune in and watch it back again, which is unfortunate. A lot depends on when the novelty factor wears off Carol and Jeremy. We know these two are the worst two dancers, and if they do get into the dance-off, one of them 1 week, they're absolute toast, because there's no way they're going to keep up with the likes of Kirsty or Jamila, given what they're dancing. I know that Charleston isn't a particularly sound-looking dance for Kirsty, but I think she'll do it to a better standard than whoever she's up against in the dance-off. So it all boils down to who's going to get that worst dance, and then who, if you like, the general public are least likely to save, or that they're almost, like I said, the novelty wears off. And it's got to be Carol Kirkwood this week.
Got to be, hasn't it? Doing the rumba.
I mean, if ever there was a car crash waiting to happen, I mean, there is some firm that's gone lowest dance this week. I know Rob hasn't priced that up, but I can't believe that they've gone odds against Carol Kirkwood, because I think she should be odds on. They've got Jeremy Vine odds on, but I think he'll do okay, because he's actually doing quite a good dance for him. It's going to be a sell, so he's dancing to the thrill. It's going to be great fun. It suits his character. I think the judges will give him a decent score just because he's doing a showy dance. But Carol's in desperate danger here. She has to get bottom score. doing the rumba because it's a very intimate dance. And
she's the worst dancer in terms of the average as well, and a 19.2 she averages of the dancers who are left. She's marginally worse than Jeremy and Karen.
Well, she's had good dances to do. She did the Viennese waltz last week, and that was her best dance, 21, when she was in Hull. But this is an absolute nightmare for her. You could not imagine a worse dance for Carol. And again, she's fairly popular. She keeps getting through, but she only got 1,700 playbacks on YouTube. Only 1.748% did they like Carolyn Pasha the best voting poll. I think she's in trouble this week because if she's in the base, she's in the dance off. She's gone.
Yes, yeah. So. And 5-2. I mean, to see her third favourite in the market, it's incredible, isn't it?
You know, absolutely. Yeah.
The counter argument, Rob, is that she's on BBC One every single day.
Yeah,
apart from the weekends.
You look at the fact that she's not even made the bottom two. You'd suggest that she's probably not even at the moment been close to the bottom two, and the 5-2 then is sort of a pick on whether you think it's value or not. I do agree with Andy. I do agree at one stage. It's spotting which week they're both going to be in danger. I mean, I backed Jeremy Vine last week at 10-1, and I thought the fact that you could get double figures about him, but again, he survived. And yeah. I don't know. Obviously, I think Kirsty's in the bottom two. I still think these two have just got one more week in front of them to survive, and he's just trying to pick somebody with them at a pot. Then maybe sort of Katie Derham, who went from zero to hero, back to zero last week again.
Well, you think she'll be in the bottom two this week?
I just think, based on the fact that Carol and Jeremy are picking up these votes, somebody's got to be in the bottom two. Anita, I think, has got a good dance, and she's due a late slot. Georgia, I think, is doing the jive, if I can... Yeah. Georgia's doing the tango, which I think suits her. Just by default, I think Katie...
Well, they said last weekend, didn't they, Katie? And Katie and Anton, you know, the judges said she's not so great, you know, at anything where she has to move, basically. And they've got the Passe Doble this week, haven't they? Which I suppose is not quite as hard as a salsa, but it's still along the same sort of line, isn't it?
She doesn't go, so yeah, anybody who's at 50-1, you're probably on a sort of good value loser, but... I can see her being in bottom two, probably with Kirsty, but I think Kirsty will go if it's between those two. I think Kirsty goes anywhere unless Carol and Jeremy are in the bottom two, and then it will obviously be one of those two.
Interesting thoughts there. Highest dance of the week, the market shows Jay McGuinness is the 5-2 favourite. Anita Rani 11-4. Kelly Bright 9-2. Peter Andre 11-2. Helen Georgia 8s. Georgia May Foot 10s. Katie Derham 12s and 50-1. And bigger the rest of them. The dances that they've got this week, Jay and Aliona, the American Smooth. We've mentioned a couple of the others already. Who else we got? Peter and Jeanette. Doing the foxtrot, Andy. Is there anyone who's doing a dance that you think really, really suits them? Anita and Cleb are doing the waltz, by the way.
Yeah, I think I've said in the last couple of weeks that I think the girls are very, very strong. It's almost like you juggle the balls and see which one lands down in front each particular week. You know, Kelly's coming into it. Anita's been very solid throughout. And I think... looking at the dances, what they're doing this week, I think the waltz is going to suit Anita and Gleb. They keep going out very early as well. I think they're due a late slot, and I think it's unfortunate because they do go out early. They've actually been undermarked several weeks.
Yeah, you're right. They went out first in week four and they went out third in week five. The week before that, they've gone out the penultimate ones to go out in movie week.
She had a late slot. She was out last first week, wasn't she? She was out on the Friday night.
Yeah, I suppose it's a little bit of a misnomer, that one, isn't it? Because there's only five six in the thing. But and then week two, I think she was out middle of the road. So yeah, she may well deserve a late slot. And going on the whole high score, last one out gets the highest score thing, then she hasn't had a really late slot yet, has she?
No, she's not been on, well,
last or last.
Friday, she hasn't been on last, but even if they'd have put more in one, I would imagine Peter Andre would have got the late slot over her, wouldn't they, if they'd have put the two shows together. I think, I mean, I don't know Andy's thoughts, but I thought 11-4, it seems to be the one that punters want to latch on this week, so... Anita Rani at 11-4 could be the one.
I think there's quite a bit of mileage in Anita Rani being top scorer this week. The waltz is a very elegant dance, and We've seen one or two showstoppers, but nothing absolutely hit out of the park. And I think that Gleb will make sure that this is a real good choreographed number. And Anita's just the kind of girl I think she can pull anything off, really, to be honest. I think she's one of the underrated dancers still in the competition, along with Kelly Bright. But at least Kelly Bright's had her moment. We could see that coming last week with the jive. And I'm still thinking the outrights are still a bit of legs in both of those two. It very much is the Gleb factor as well. He's very much the heartthrob of the male dancers. And I think, you know, because of that, they're always likely to be very, very popular. And if she just gets that late slot, that's what she needs. She needs. We know she's going to dance well. The waltz is just tailor-made for her and Gleb. But if she can get a draw somewhere in the back four rather than the front four, I think it could be her turn to shine. And I certainly think Georgia May Foot will come into the argument as well this week. She's doing the...
Georgia and Giovanni are doing the tango.
The tango, yeah. Sorry, of course it is. Yeah, I've seen that in training. Yeah, it looks very, very good. And I think she's beginning to come along quite nicely as well. She got very good YouTube playbacks last week as well. She was at the second top behind Kelly with 30,000. She actually used Herb J for once. So I think she's coming along quite nicely. At 10-1, I wouldn't rule her out either. So I'd probably split mistakes here. Well, I'd have more on Anita. I'd have like 2 points win Anita and a point win on Georgia, I think. Those two represent value this week.
Mm. The interesting thing as well, not that we can't bet on it or anything, but interesting to see the viewing figures as well, climbing more and more every single week. 10.85 for live show number 5 million, with the official ratings for the 17th of October show. So, you know, they're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you know, if you do really well at the end of a show, when you've got such a big viewing audience, then it can really give you a bit, like we said about Jay, can give you a real lift for the rest of the show as well. Some nice price bets there. Any more to add on Strictly, Rob or Andy, before we move on?
No,
not really for me. Just obviously the elimination. I think Kirsty's time might be up. Mm-hmm. So that, but I wouldn't put anybody off. Maybe the 50-1. If I don't tip off 150-1 shot during the year, then I'll live to regret it if she goes on Sunday night. So
you've got to do it. Yeah, tip one. He might not win, but you know.
Yeah, so 50-1.
It's like a free bet, isn't it? Yeah. Tipping up a 50-1 winner. Sort of thing I do, Rob.
I know, but more regularly than me, obviously.
Yes. The X Factor reaches its live show stage this week. Thank God for that, because although the acts have been interesting last weekend, I felt like I was slowly dying watching those two Six Chair Challenge Judges Houses shows. They were awful, terribly produced. But here we are. We've got our final live show list. Well, we think it is, I suppose, Rob, don't we? Because lo and behold, last night we get wild cards chucked in there. So now, of course, we've got Monica Michael at 25-1 as a wild card. The full list sees Louisa Johnson as a 9-4 favourite, Fourth Impact 5-1, Che Chesterman 6s, Anton Steffens 7-1, Sean Miley Moore the same price, Lauren Murray 9-1, Kira Weathers 16s, Mason Noyes 20-1, Alien Uncovered 25s with Max Stone and Monica. Reggie and Bolly are 80-1 and Bupsy 100-1. Absolute travesty that she's even in this competition, but hey ho. Andy, I know you want to go and watch the racing, so let you go first here. You've been keeping a close eye on this over the last few weeks, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you've pretty much come down pretty heavily on a couple of acts, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've obviously watched it as closely as you guys, and I just feel actually a bit sorry for the X Factor this year, because it's been rushed and the rugby's taken over and they've had to cram everything in and they've elongated some of the shows, and obviously it's not performing as well as Strictly Come Dancing. I think a lot of people, actually, like I do anyway, watch X Factor on catch-up, and I think,
yeah,
you know, I think they are slightly distorted to a certain degree. So I think it's probably doing a little bit better than what they think, but I do think this year's show potentially is one of the best ever. From a bookmaker's perspective, I don't know what Rob's thinking, but it's mouth-watering, really, because you've got classic short price favourite. It was obviously the producer's favourite and the Simon Cowell's favourite. You can already, you know, he's obviously stuck her on the mantelpiece already as the winner, but we've seen these kind of favourites fall at the very first obstacle. You know, she's got Tuchiella Henderson, Janet Devlin about her. I'm not actually 100% sure whether she's actually the best female singer. I'll get onto that in a second. But, you know, the fact that Josh, Jennifer and Monica, I know Monica's got the wild card, didn't get through just shows you how strong this series is from actual just pure singing and personality perspective. I think some unbelievably good voices this year. Obviously, Larissa's hit the ball out of the park. several times. I think Shay's got an unbelievable range. You've got Lauren Murray, who for me is the best female singer. We'll come on to that in a minute. Anton's got that great likability factor. You've got the quirkiness of Sean Miley Moore. Really good singer. I mean, even Mason Noyce, to be fair to him. You know, he come across as being a bit of a gangster, and obviously the one that was the pantomime villain a few weeks ago. But give the lad credit, that the boy can sing. There's no denying that. And then you've got the quirky acts like Alien Uncovered, who are very good. I think they're very commercial. I don't think they're actually probably beat Fourth Impact in the head-to-head with the big groups battle. But all the way down to Max Stone and you know, Reggie and Bolly with their fun factor. I think this is a really good lineup this year, and obviously a lot depends on the first couple of weeks' live shows. Who sets the standard? Me personally, I'll back Shay Chesterman. I'm on him at a nice price. I love his voice. I think he's got that light. That's just that nice, likeable personality where he's not too brash, he's not too in your face. But I think the general public are going to like him. You know, he's a shelf stacker who's got no airs and graces, but that voice just will take him into another stratosphere week in, week out, and he'll do for me.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with Shay Chesterman, isn't it, Rob? He's done very little wrong, has he? And he's grown already, and he just seems to wow everyone. I thought the reaction that we saw in the actual judges' houses footage said everything, really. You know, you could see, especially with in the boys' category, I think they gave away, the body language was more of a giveaway in that one. They couldn't hold their kind of their joy back, could they, almost? And they wanted to talk to him afterwards. Most of them just walked out. They wanted to have a chat with him, didn't they?
Yeah, I think he'd do whatever sort of... We were talking a few weeks ago about how the perfect X Factor winner for the X Factor would be somebody who's just quite happy to not cause any problems, mm-hmm. pick what they're... sing what they're chosen and sing it well. And Shay Chesterman probably ticks most of the boxes as a potential X Factor winner.
Although I will say this, guys, is that we've only seen him do a certain type of song at the moment, and he shouldn't be prancing around the stage, but sooner or later one of the judges will say, yeah, it's all very well you being brilliant every week, but you haven't danced yet and you haven't worn a lycra hot pants yet, have you, Shay? I'm obviously exaggerating, but they will try and put him out of his comfort zone at some point, which he might not like.
Yeah, and the problem you've got is with that is you've got Nick Grimshaw as a judge, and that tends to, that to me sends a few alarm bells ringing. I just, the fact that his choices during the sort of six chair challenge were so sort of weird and random, you just wonder what he's going to be when he's got these three acts through to the final. Mm. Che's the difficult one for me, because Che's the one who I feel he probably will get out of his comfort zone, which he doesn't really need to. I think Sean Miley Moore, you can produce the big performances for him.
He'll do anything you ask him to, won't he?
No, I don't think Mason Noyce is going to be on the show long enough to make that impact. But Shay Chesterman, you feel if managed right, can go all the way. It's just I wish he was probably with another sort of another mentor, maybe.
Got loads of categories here. Just shout up, Andy, if you want to go off and carry on with your day job. We've got the first boy-girl group and over to be eliminated. The first elimination this week, and we've got top boy, group, girl over as well. The first elimination market, which we'll have a look at. No one's going to be surprised to know who's at the top of this market, and I think we all probably said it as we saw it unfold on TV. The price ain't bad though. Bupsy 7-4, Reggie and Bolly 100-30, Max Stone 4-1, Mason Noyce 8-1, Alien Uncovered 10s, Kira Weathers 12-1, 14-1 Monica Michael, the wildcard, then a big jump up to 40-1 and bigger the rest of them. Traditionally, Rob, groups tend to bite the bullet first, don't they?
Yeah.
But this is the best groups category we've ever seen, barring Reggie and Bolly.
Yeah, but I still think I think they survived this week, and I also think Bupsy survives.
Because they've put them both
through for the fun factor.
But it's only what you only one fun factor, Rob.
Yeah, but maybe Reggie and Bolly as well. And I just think that I think their two performances would be a lot more memorable than a couple of others that we're going to see
probably a bit
later.
Memorable,
just,
maybe not for the right reason. But
that's
you're
the
right.
Thing. That's the X factor, isn't it? If you're not going to, there's no point putting Bupsy through over more talented singers, to me, if the whole plan was we put her on first, she's gone the first week. I just think you look at all these sort of novelty acts that we've seen before, even even sort of Rylan and people like that have lasted a fair amount of time. This might change due to the smaller live shows this year, but I don't know. I just think I'd quite happily take Booksy on at sort of 7-4, and maybe even Reggie and Bolly 100-30. I think Reggie and Bolly are probably more in danger of going than Booksy. I think Max Stone, I think at 4-1 is probably more in danger than the two combined together. I just don't see it's a good voice, but that's all it is. And I think
it's quite boring, isn't it?
Yeah, when it gets to this, I think it's forgettable. I think he had his moment in the sun when they got rid of him and then called him back, and maybe he's the one who's more in danger of going on first and sort of being forgetful.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that, Andy, to be fair.
Yeah, the one thing that Bupsy's got in her favour is obviously she's mentored by Simon Cowell. Now, he's going to make sure that his decision isn't a wrong one. It's quite clear that he had a bit of affection for Bupsy, the fact that she was obviously gyrating in front of him on the desk in one of the auditions has obviously stuck with him. And he obviously chose her over Jennifer, which is probably one of the most controversial decisions ever, I think, on the X Factor, to be perfectly honest, certainly from a singing perspective. So he's going to make sure, he's going to want that Bupsy stays in at least beyond 1 week to justify that her being in there. That's the only positive I can put on it, really.
Mm.
Who will go? I haven't got an obvious one other than Bupsy, because I think it's so strong.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about Max Stone, I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but he was the one in the six chair challenge, and he kind of got brought back on, didn't he?
Yeah.
And because the crowd were chanting for him, and a couple of times he's like made reference to that and thanked the public for bringing him back in. It's funny, you know, because you look at with all the will in the world, obviously I'm sure he's a lovely bloke, but there's not an awful lot going on there, is there, in terms of charisma? But he got a quarter of a million views when Simon selected him as the final act for the lives. Whereas, you know, you look at Anton Steffens, only got 160,000 views. You know, some of the acts singing didn't get anywhere near that level of views. So there's obviously some love for him somewhere.
Maybe. You know. I mean, I'm kind of ruling out a little bit about what I saw at that six chair challenge, because the crowd were just, it's just almost like a renter crowd, wasn't it? They were, every time somebody sang,
but
it
why,
was.
But why
a
are
seat.
All these people watching him get picked by Simon? There's more people watched him get, not the singing, watched him get picked than watched, you know, some of the actual performances.
Yeah.
I just find it very strange. I don't know what it is about him that somewhere, people have latched onto this lad for some reason.
I mean, it'd be interesting to know sort of how it... I suppose it was quite a... Probably out of the overs, it was probably more they were expecting sort of Jennifer to get through. Even Kerri-Anne would have probably been a decent option in that.
It's a shocking category now, with Bupsy and Max Stone in
it. Yeah,
but
I think the fact that he's obviously... Anton Steffens is obviously the class act in that category. If he's going to push Bupsy, does he push Bupsy so much that's where Max becomes vulnerable? Because Anton Steffens speaks for itself, but if he's going to keep pushing Bupsy, he's not going to keep pushing Max Stone as well, is he? So you lose somewhere down the line.
I'd rather back him in that. I think, you know, in the first elimination, you got 5-4 Max Stone, 4-6 Bupsy. But I mean, to be fair, I can't have her at all. I think she's shocking. I don't think she's a very good singer, full stop. You know, and I don't think she's going to be that fun either. I've not found her fun one time, to be honest.
I mean, I know you say she's a fun factor,
but she's more like the kind of, oh God, factor.
Yeah, it depends what sort of performance they've got set for, haven't they, in it? So. We'll wait and see. I mean, the songs are out. She's got the Marvin Gaye
You're a Wonderful One. See, that's not a fun song.
No, it's not a fun song.
So where is that going to be fun? I don't get where that's going to be fun, if you know what I mean. All the songs are out, by the way. Anton Steffens, Dance With My Father. I mean, this guy is like lined up to be Steve Brookstein, you know, the 2015 Steve Brookstein, by the way, because that was one of Steve Brookstein's favourite songs. And in his voice, it isn't too dissimilar to him. I wonder if he'll suffer the same sort of fate. Alien Uncovered doing Do It Like A Dude. That'll be really good. Che Chesterman, Tears Dry On Their Own. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, so he'll wait whale, that one. Kira Weathers, Crying for No Reason. I'm Every Woman for Lauren Murray, which will be a massive ballad. Louisa Johnson, God Only Knows. Sorry, Mason Noyes, of course he is. Max Stone, Someone Like You. Make It Rain, Monica Michael. Beautiful Girls, Reggie and Bolly. Life on Mars, Sean Miley Moore. And Problem for Fourth Impact. I still think, look, Reggie and Bolly, I'm sure, will be really good fun. Whether they can amass enough public vote on the night is debatable. I wouldn't be surprised if they go out first to get the party started, yeah, and maybe get a little bit forgotten.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you look at this Max Stone thing. Somebody's trying to recreate an Adele song first week. I mean, how many teams that people have we seen come a cropper doing Adele versions over the years? So
yeah, true. Yeah.
We'll wait.
Yeah, no, I get your point. It's a really interesting argument. I'd pick him as well, Rob. I just can't understand where these YouTube views come from for him. You forget who he is. I mean, you probably couldn't even imagine. Can't even think what he looks like still. Max Stone.
That's the thing, isn't it?
The only good thing about him is his name. So, some interesting markets there for the X Factor this week. Like I say, Rob's priced loads up on there. There's a first to lose all the acts, loads of specials as well. So have a good look through all those. Top three finish. I'm going to pin my colours to the mast, and I'm going to say that Reggie and Bolly go first. Guys, have you got any strong feelings? And you're going to go Max Stone, Rob?
Yep, Max Stone for me.
Anything for a fun bet, Andy?
I'd probably just concentrate on the outright markets with Chase. Testament.
Yep,
and I also think that Lauren Murray, top girl, is the bet I've had.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
I do. One firm went 7-1 first off the shelf, which is an absolutely ludicrous price. I think as the weeks go on, I think Lauren will catch up with Louisa.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see her flip around. And
yeah, she's got more personality than her.
I categorise it. Just, I've gone through every cat and gone, which is the most... Obviously, they're all good singers, so which is the most likeable out of all the categories? Four attracting them in the groups.
Yeah.
Shay in the boys, Anton in the overs, and Lauren in the girls.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
talking about ones that sort of are forgotten about. I know the bottom two prices aren't up yet, and I think they will be over the weekend, but I'd be interested for price really on Kira Weathers. The girls category seems
she's forgettable, isn't she?
Yeah, the girls category seems to have gone past her and gone on now, and obviously with Louisa Johnson being sort of Simon's favourite, brought Monica Michael back as a wild card. Interesting why they brought her back and nobody else. I don't know why she's the one that's come back instead of probably Jennifer, who I thought was probably the stronger contestant out of the two, or there was no sort of vote or anything. So I don't know if they're just maybe they're concerned of the girls category. But as Andy says, Lauren Murray.
Well, no, they want the reason they brought her back is because they want the girls to win. It's quite clear that the girls are being pimped to win it. They had a full show to themselves for the six chair challenge.
Yeah.
They had a full, didn't they have a full
they
show
pretty
to
much
themselves?
Had a full show last night, last hour of last Sunday, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, so I mean, everything about the girl is that's now they've got four in that category, yeah. So they've obviously got one more to go.
I just think maybe, I mean, 12-1. She probably would survive a sing-off, but I just see a bottom two price.
No,
that's
not a bad shot. I watched the Extra Factor show that was on Thursday night, and she didn't seem happy. They talked to everyone, and everyone was quite bubbly, and she just didn't seem happy. She said, "I'm quite nervous," and just didn't seem like she was enjoying the whole experience.
It wouldn't surprise me if she's the one who does get the early slot next. Yes. Well, maybe she's a bit.
Let's just create some sort of like rumour. Maybe she's a bit of a grumpy so and so, and they brought Monica in, so I thought, we'll just give her a bit of a kick up the backside.
Maybe they've just
let's just start that rumour.
Maybe they decided that she's the vulnerable one, and then next week we can still have
three
chat with three contestants.
There you go. Thank you very much, chaps, for all your thoughts on Strictly and on X Factor. There's loads more on the specials pages. Sports Personality of the Year. There's The Voice. There's Oscars. Eurovision. I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here, by the way. That's not too far away, is it? The adverts are already on the telly. When is it, Rob?
A couple of weeks away.
Loads of names there, including Gazza and Will Meller, 6-1. Denise Van Outen, 7s. Craig Charles, 8s. 8-1. Jake Wood, Spencer Matthews, etc. Keep an eye on the celebrity websites.
This morning, Gazza. Didn't...
Oh, really?
Yes, he was in our Trinity Shopping Centre.
Oh, nice.
I'm a bit disappointed that a couple of our in-play department members managed to get a picture with him. Yeah. Nobody asked him if he was going in the jungle. But there you go.
Ah, silly. But keep an eye on the celebrity websites and all that sort of stuff. You get your news there first. And if you can beat Rob to it, then you might get a little sneaky bet on James Bond specials, Star Wars, next Pope, you name it, it's all there. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Rob.
No problem.
Cheers, mate.
Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next week. Cheers, guys. If you're having a bet on any of those specials markets that we've discussed today or anything else that's on the website, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.